Well, it is the countdown to Samageddon.
You thought the nightmare was over.
Holy sh!
You thought you were safe.
Hey!
You were wrong.
That's right.
I'm getting stoned every day, every minute, and even though I don't get stoned, I am stoned.
It's countdown to Samageddon.
Kevin, let's bring our audience and Lisa May up to speed, because Lisa was on vacation last week, so she missed the countdown that we did every day. Looking forward to catching up with our old friend Sam today.
What did she miss?
Well, Lisa, I mean, we did play some highlights. We played some highlights of Sam the Armenian Comedian. We played some music that he did. Mm-hmm. We played some of the different interviews that we've had with him. We played jokes. I mean, we really have been getting in the mood to talk to him, and today was the day that
it was Sam... a career retrospective. I mean, it was really it was just like the coming attractions into. Today was the day that we were going to see the first brand new Sam the Armenian Comedian movie in 2 years, because he wasn't allowed to come on with us for the last year's restraining order and whatnot. So we were so excited. Then what happened? What was the chink in the armor last week?
Well, last week I called Sam. He was very excited to hear from me. He wanted to come back on the show. Everything was great. I went home. He called Dave back, the King of Mexico, and he said, I have demands. I need things before I come in. So we were like, what are you talking about? We just talked to you.
Now, the understanding that I got from hearing from you and Dave and Lightning, all of whom talked to Sam, is that it's not coming from Sam. It's actually coming from his lovely wife, Julie. Is that correct?
I think. That's what he's telling us.
Okay.
So we should talk to Mrs. Comedian and find out. This is the next step to getting him in the studio.
We have Mrs. Comedian on the phone with us right now. Hi, Julie. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my dear. Long time no talk.
Yes. Good morning. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
We're doing it. First of all, can we say that you are a saint? You have been married to Sam, the Armenian Comedian, for how long?
31 years.
How do you do it? That's unbelievable.
I know.
So the brief recap version for our listeners, Mrs. Comedian, is that the Armenian Comedian, your husband, called in a bomb threat to the radio station 2 years ago. And we got him on the phone once we heard about it. He called on the weekend and talked to some of the kids who answer the phone at K-Rock. And we got a hold of him that following Monday. And we said, Sam, you understand that we live in a post-9/11 world, and you can't make threats like this because they are taking seriously, and it is very dangerous. So please tell us that you were kidding, that you didn't mean it, that you don't plan to blow up the radio station. And he would not back down. In fact, he doubled down and said, the bombs are already around the radio station, and if you guys don't do what I want you to do, I am going to blow up the building. And it was completely out of our hands, Julie. We didn't have anything to do with it. We didn't call anybody, but the police were listening, and they contacted us and said, we need to get in contact with this man and find out what's going on. And you know what happened after that. He got arrested. He ended up in jail, and a restraining order happened. Does all that sound familiar to you?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Is it accurate so far?
It's very bad for me. You know, what he did, he didn't tell me, but I am very, very sorry what he did, what
okay.
he says, and he keeps saying that it was so embarrassing for me,
okay,
very well. Much. I'm very sorry what he did. It's a crazy, out of hand.
Okay.
Yes.
It's very crazy, and you should know, though, that even when we were talking to Sam, and even when we were talking to the police, we said, look, we don't think he is dangerous. We have been
friends
with this man for 15 years. We're not asking you to do anything.
Yes.
But they, you know, it's out of our hands at that point. They have to take these things seriously, and there have to be repercussions for that kind of conduct.
Yes. That's right. Correct.
Yes. All right, Mrs. Comedian. Now, Sam called us back, and he said that you, specifically, he kind of pinned it on you. He said you wanted some things to happen before he came back in.
No. You know Sam, guys. You know him 15 years. I know him 31
okay.
years. Okay? So I'm living with him. I know how it is. But I really, it's his fault what he did it. But he wants to go back, that's fine.
Okay.
But I heard, because emotionally I come sick, and I cry days, and my kids, you know, I have two boys.
Oh.
When you're, you know, dad in a jail, you know how you're going to feel. I know he's guilty. First of all, I didn't know until I told him, you stay in jail. I want to find out what you did. You have to punish.
You did make him stay in jail, didn't you? I love that.
Yes.
Okay.
You know what? He has to punish what he says.
I hear you.
I don't care how much I forgive. I'm a wife. You know, you have to love him, blah,
of
blah,
course.
Blah. But you
can
do that. you know?
All right. Now, let me just run down the list of things that he says.
Remind me. It's horrible.
No. I'm not talking about what happened in the past. I'm talking about these are things that Sam is insisting. He said you were insisting, but let's say he was insisting that have to happen before he comes into the studio.
Oh, I don't have no idea.
Okay. Sam told us that you needed an apology.
No.
Okay. He told us that we have to have a breakfast with him. He told us that we need to raise $10,000.
Oh, no. You're kidding.
And then he called back and said he needed to go on Loveline as well.
Oh, no.
Okay, so none of this is from you.
No. You know what I did tell to him when he got arrested and he got a restraining order? I told him, if you call Kevin and Bean or you listen Kara closely, I'm divorcing you. End of. This is childish.
Wow.
And it's stupid what you did. I'm not your wife. I'm not going to put up with you.
Okay.
Wow.
That was my point.
Now, Mrs. Comedian, let me ask you this. Do you believe that he understood what he did, that he took responsibility for it, that he was sorry for it, and that he'll never do it again?
I hope so. I pray for that.
Okay, I do, too.
Yes. And I'll tell you this, Julie. We have missed Sam so much. I mean, we have been looking at the calendar every month going, how long till we can get our man back on the air? Because he's been an important part of our show for a long time. And
that's
been a long 2 years without Sam, and we're dying to catch up. So it really kind of hurt our feelings when then we found out, oh, we can't have him on today as planned because of all this bad feelings.
No, that's not true. No, I wouldn't say you don't know me that much the way you know Sam. I'm a sweet,
right.
I'm a kind person.
Oh, no. I know. Every time we've met you, we think that. But, and you know, look, Sam told us that you said it. We believed he said it probably, but there's not going to be any $10,000. He knows that, right?
Of course not.
Okay.
And you know what? It's not your responsibility. I'm his wife. I have to take in care of him. You know, I'm hurt because financially and emotionally I come sick. And I don't want anything happen.
I don't either.
After who's paying the high price? Me.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Lisa, can you believe how sweet this woman is?
She's a saint.
She's a saint.
Absolutely.
That's all there is to it. Why don't you get the hell out of there? Seriously.
Yes.
Aren't the kids old enough that you could just leave?
That's a great question.
You could just get up in the middle of the night. He wouldn't even know.
I know.
All right. So if all of this is resolved, is there any reason that you can think of, Mrs. Comedian, that Sam could not join us on the show tomorrow?
He can join. With the pleasure. You know what? Let me honestly. He was dying to call you anytime. I did tell him, if I find out it'd be end of your marriage, I will leave and I will go far away.
Oh.
You know, I was telling 2 years it was very hard for him because he loves you and he's his fan.
Well, we're very sorry that you got put through any of this. That's
a
terrible thing.
Because Sam, he stayed two nights in a jail. One night I told him, you have to stay. I'm going to punish you what you did.
He stayed two nights? Wow, you're hardcore. I like that.
Yeah, I put him. You know, my kids, my two boys, they cry. They says, Mother, let me have your credit card, bail him out. I said, no, I have to find what he did. He says, I didn't do nothing. I said, I have to find out. And after that, I will make decision and I'll take him care of.
Right.
Believe me, I pay all the bills. I don't want to go through. You know how expensive to go in court to pay all expense. But God, he loves me. You know, someone he helped me. Because you know what I'm mad? Because you guys, okay, what he did is wrong. It's his responsibility. But at least you guys call me. Julie, you need anything? Ask me. You know, I was horrible. You know, I lost 10 pounds in 5 days.
Mm. Oh, my gosh. Well, we're glad to get a chance to talk to you. It was your husband did not call us for 2 years, so he was true to his word on that. And we are very excited about trying to talk to him tomorrow and catch up. And I'm glad that you guys are still together and hanging in there and being young and in love. And I'm glad we got a chance to catch up with you as well, Julie.
Thank you for calling. Thank you for asking.
You're welcome.
We'll talk to you soon, my dear. Bye-bye now.
The
incredible Black Keys on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. We'll talk to the K-Rock listener who won their touring van coming up in less than an hour right here on the show. Plus, LaQuisha looks at last night's Keeping Up with Our Kardashians. I hate to ask you to do this for me, Beer Bug, but since the monkey's out today, you're going to have to tell us what's on the wheel. We're getting ready to spin the wheel of Bad Animal Voices. What are our choices today?
We have Doomsday Prepper Survival Kitty,
Survival Kitty.
I know. We need to talk to a Survival Kitty.
The badass super soldier ants. Mm-hmm. Harvey Dent, the two-faced kitten. Erwin, the formerly paralyzed kangaroo.
Okay.
Florence, the shark that turned vegetarian.
Wow.
Toto, the tornado kitten. The Icelandic worm monster. The party-crashing cows. Meow, the 39-pound cat in heaven. Houdini, the Australian runaway goat. And last but not least, a mouthful of the albino cyclops shark.
Mm. I want to talk to every single one of them. I wish they were all having a party together. They could just hand the phone back and forth in the room. All right, ladies and gentlemen, here on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Tuesday, it's time to spin the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
Don't know.
It's gonna be pretty.
Let's find out who we're talking to today here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Wow. Rock that wheel.
It's the party crashing cows!
Yay!
Beer-guzzling cows crash party and drink up the suds. Boxford, Massachusetts. Listen to this. Actually, I believe we have an audio story on this, a news report on the cows.
Talk about party animals. Cows on the loose in Boxford, belly up to the bar for a few beers in a backyard.
Well, yeah, they enjoyed it. There's no doubt about it. They went right for the beer, and when one was done, they would knock another one over and take care of that beer.
Boxford police say they heard screams, and then a group of women took off when a half dozen cows crashed their backyard party. The thirsty bovines eagerly helped themselves to the brewskis left behind.
They got up as the cows went towards the table. They stepped back, and the cows took over the table. Again, knocking over the beers with their noses, drinking the beer off the table. They went to the recycling bin to find any leftovers.
Lieutenant Ryder says it's possible there may have been some underage drinking going on, but he says he would know because he can't tell the age of a cow.
Oh, you've got to be kidding me. Those cows should have killed everyone involved in that report. All right, let's talk to the beer-guzzling cows who crashed the party in Boxford, Massachusetts. Hello.
Hey, what's up, dude?
How are you, Mr. Cow?
I'm righteous. How are you?
Yeah, you sound like you guys were having a pretty good time at that Memorial Day party, right?
We drank all their brewskis, man.
Yeah, that's what I heard in the report, right?
Free brewskis. Who could turn down free brewskis? Not me, dude. Not me.
So what were you guys doing? You just a herd of cattle just walking down the street just looking for somebody having a party or what?
Yeah, man, we had nothing better to do, you know. We just looked around the neighborhood and one of my buddies said, yo, dude, I heard they're having a party over there in that house. I said, well, guess what? That party just got a little bit bigger. Yeah, party!
Oh, my God.
Oh, you're still drinking. Yeah. Sounds like you guys are still putting it back, huh?
Oh, that's hot. That's so good.
Yeah. I didn't know that, I have had cows in my life. I've never given them beer. I didn't know they enjoyed the taste of beer.
Oh, really? You didn't? Yeah. What's beer made out of, dude?
I guess.
Grain!
Yeah, I guess that's right.
What
I guess
do cows eat, dude?
Yeah, grain. I guess it makes a lot of sense.
Grain!
You're the most enthusiastic cow I've ever talked to in my whole life.
We love grain. We love brewskis. We love to party.
Yeah,
cows love to party, man. You know what we like to do? We like to get all loaded up on brewskis and go out and find some people who are sleeping and tip them over.
Oh, really? You guys do that, too, huh?
It's so awesome to go people tipping.
I never even thought about it that way. What about the women? Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Slow down, dude. Slow down.
You slow down, old man.
No, I'm just saying, you don't need to still be drinking at this hour of the day.
You don't need to still be whatever you said, old man.
What about the women at the party who run away because some cows walk up to the picnic table? What about that?
Yeah, bitches. Stuck up bitches. We show up, they're like, oh, cows are here. We're not going to take off. We're not going to, bang any cows. Well, screw you, bitches.
Well, I don't think anybody was talking about banging any cows.
We don't
like
your tiny human boobs anyway. See, boobs on a cow, they're huge, man.
Yeah,
it's a good point.
I got like 19 nipples. They're awesome.
Yeah, you do win. You are
cow boobs rule.
Okay. Dude, you need to lay down or something.
Need to lay down, old man.
This is
forever.
Exhausting.
You just lay down in front of traffic, man.
I'm glad you guys had such a great Memorial Day weekend. Sounds like a hell of a party. We are a few weeks now into the new fall season on television. It's going to be interesting to find out what shows are going to make it, what shows are going to be among the first to be canceled. We'll talk to our friend Michael Schneider. He is with TVGuide.com in about a half an hour for a recap of where we are in the fall season so far. I love TV, but I'm always afraid I'm missing something good, something that's out there that I should be watching that I'm not. So
or
I'm looking forward to talking to Mike.
Am I too invested in something that's going to go away?
That's the worst.
That's a great question, too. If I hear something is being canceled and I don't love it, I just stop watching it right there because what's the point? It's a good point, Kevin. Here's a topic I never thought we'd address here on the Kevin DeBean Show, but it came up recently. And I don't think I was around, Kevin, when bedwetting became a topic. What happened? How did this get on our radar now?
I will tell you, and I will have Lisa tell her wonderful story again.
I might have started this.
She started it by coming in and telling a personal story that had happened to her over the weekend, and she was horrified / amused by it.
I was slightly amused. All right. So, you know how life gets super, super stressful at times. You're not getting enough sleep. And so I went to bed one night and I woke up, I don't know, 2-3 in the morning. And I went into the bathroom and I was in the bathroom sitting there thinking, you know, I am handling all this stress so well. This is the part that just cracks me up.
So you sort of pat yourself on the back.
I really am. Like, it's amazing. I haven't had like a breakdown by now or something. And wow, this is amazing. And then I woke up. And I realized that I really wasn't in the bathroom at all. I was still in bed, but I had wet my bed.
Yay!
While patting herself on the back.
Because I'm handling the stress so well.
She wet the bed.
You know, it's going to come out somewhere, that stress.
In the last month.
And then I had to change my sheets.
Oh.
Which is so, you know, it's like 3 in the morning. It was actually a weeknight, so I had to go to work in the morning. Oh. It was just the worst.
Look, we've all been there where you're kind of awake and kind of asleep and you're not really sure which is which, but you hope that you're actually awake and at the toilet. That's
yes,
what you're
you
hoping
do.
That. And most people, if you're an adult, let's face it, most of us never wet the bed. But if you do, isn't it usually as a result of just being super drunk and just collapsing in the bed after a long night and you're just, there's no way you're even conscious enough to get up, so you end up peeing yourself? I mean, that's generally what happens with adults, right?
Right.
So then Beer Mug speaks up and he says, yeah, I didn't stop wetting the bed till I was 11. We said, what?
Wow.
11?
Seems old.
Seems way old.
Yeah, it was bad. It was every night.
It was outrageous.
It wasn't a regular day if I didn't wet the bed. In fact, I every time I'd go to sleepover or sleepaway camp, I would be so petrified because I knew it was going to happen. It was inevitable. It was, and my mom and dad had got me a bedwetting alarm. That there was a shoulder unit with an alarm on it that a wire ran down to the area.
You mean they produced that?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I had like one of the first generations. I was like the lab rat of this thing. And every time it would get wet, it would go off, and it was supposed to wake you up. It worked for the first, you know, couple times, but I would
sleep right through that.
I would destroy the bed.
Now, wait a second here.
Did you sleep on plastic?
He almost said that proudly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it got to a point where, like, in the middle of the night, I wouldn't even change my sheets. I would just go get towels, throw towels over, and go back to bed.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's when your hygiene started. Excellent.
And you were waiting to bed literally every night?
Every night, Bean. It was bad.
So
it
until you're 11.
Until I was 11.
You don't go out to other people's houses?
Well, see, that's the thing.
You don't sleep over?
I did. I did not. I didn't want anybody to know. Like,
of course.
A bedwetting problem. I wanted to be a regular kid. So I would go over to their houses, but I would just be petrified. I was like, uh-oh, this is going to happen. So I would make sure not to drink anything like 3 hours before I went to bed.
Seriously, man, have some water.
Yeah,
No.
I was like, what's his name? Fuller from Home Alone. Where you can't give him any Pepsi or he's going to wet the bed. I was like, that was the noise I heard. That was the noise that would go off every night.
All right. So 11.
When the buzzer went off, you're already peeing yourself, though, right?
Yep.
It already goes off when it's wet.
The connectors are already touching, and that means it's wet.
How does that help?
Well, it's supposed to get like the right at the beginning because it's right, you know, it's attached to your
train
right
you.
In front of your, you know, your unit.
Got it.
And yeah, exactly. It trains
so
you to wake up.
So first drop is supposed to wake you up, and then you can get up and take care of yourself.
Exactly.
So why do you think, Beer Mug, and we want to take your calls, by the way, if you can top 11. If you wet the bed past 11, we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. Now, and that'll give you some pretty interesting statistics about bedwetting. But
again, let me just say, we don't want anyone that was drunk. We want actual bedwetting.
Right.
Like Lisa was not under the influence of anything.
Right, right. Okay. Why do you suppose, Beer Mug,
yeah,
you stopped when you were 11? What do you think changed?
Well, that's a good question, Bean, because I went to go see a doctor. My parents took me to the doctor to say, hey, when is this bedwetting going to stop? And he said, well, you have an underdeveloped bladder. I pretty much had the bladder the size of a garbanzo bean.
Oh, so you got a doctor that just gave you a free license.
Pretty much.
Took all the blame for it.
Free license to pee. Exactly.
And, wow.
So,
it's my favorite James Bond movie, by the way. License to pee.
Yeah. So he said, when I stopped peeing is when my bladder started, growing to full size of my age.
So you just need, your organs just needed to grow to match the rest of your body.
Exactly.
And you're
going to
be fine. And you haven't had any problems since then? You don't occasionally relapse?
Well, his brain. Well, it's still growing.
Yeah, my brain is still growing. But no, not other than the occasional drunken night where I pee myself.
Not talking about drunken.
Yeah, all right.
And by the way, when you're 11, I mean, it's not unheard of, but that's old enough where you know it's a problem and you are embarrassed.
It's embarrassing.
And you just dread going to bed every night, right?
Pretty much.
You know what's going to happen.
Yep.
Here's we're going to get to your calls in 1 minute at 1-800-520-1067 if you have your own bedwetting story. Here's a survey. It's a couple of years old now, but a professor from the Chinese University of Hong Kong teamed up with colleagues from the Prince of Wales Hospital to analyze the results of more than 16,500 children ages 5 to 19. 5 to 19. They stopped at 19, by the way.
What are you working on?
working on a big project of bedwetting.
According to this survey, 1 in 50 teenagers wets the bed. So that's 13 and up. 1 in 50.
Teenagers.
Almost half of 19-year-olds who have the problem, those who are still 19 and wetting the bed, wet the bed every single night.
Apparently what
they say is mild bedwetting is much worse with younger children, but older children reported a higher level of severe problems, meaning that if you're 11 to 19, for instance, 82% are wetting the bed at least 3 times a week.
Do they just sleep so deeply? Do they know what it is?
They don't say in this article what the reason is, but that's why they're doing this research, is to see if they can put two and two together and figure out why it is. So if you don't beat bedwetting by the time you get to be 13, 14, 15 years old, it's likely that it's going to get worse or stay worse.
Do you just sleep in adult diapers?
For life?
Think of your dating life. Oh,
again,
wow.
They shut this off at 19. I bet there have to be adults who have this problem, right? Just for whatever reason. And I would imagine, like what Birma was describing with his bladder, I would imagine that there's a medical reason if you're still wetting the bed and you're 30, right?
I would think
I would
there
hope
has
so.
To be.
But I don't know.
Yeah. Well, let's take a call here to get us going before the break at 1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to Dennis real quick.
There's an alarming number of phones ringing.
We're looking for somebody who can beat 11 years old. That's how old Muggs was. Dennis, how old were you?
I was 12.
Yes! Dennis is number one! What was going on, buddy?
Well, being the youngest of 9 kids, me and my other 3 brothers all went to bed.
Does that make you feel better to throw them in there with you?
Poor parents.
No kidding.
Yeah, we went through a lot of mattresses.
Oh, my God.
So every single morning, the first thing your mom had to do when she got up was start washing sheets again, right?
No. Recall, I said I'm the youngest, so she gave up on that. We just had to live in our own year.
No.
That turned south.
Well,
what
yeah.
about what
that
Beer
was
Mug
funny
said?
Until 2 seconds ago?
What about what Beer Mug said, where you just put towels down over the wet spot?
I may have figured that out by the time I was 10 or something. But
why do you think you stopped at 12?
I've heard that, and I kind of try to put this out of my mind that it ever happened, because it was embarrassing. Because my best friend's mom called my mom and said, if he's going to sleep over, he has to bring a sleeping bag.
Oh, that's sweet. Mm. That's nice.
And I think I've heard that it's because the urethra doesn't develop until later for some boys. And it's more
interesting.
Common in boys than girls.
And that made you feel better about being a failure?
But that sounds reasonable. That sounds like you had a medical reason, just like Muggs. And by the way, this same survey that I quote says that it is a higher percentage of problems with late bedwetting for boys than for girls. And that could be exactly what Dennis is talking about.
Yeah, all right, none of my 5 sisters wet the bed at all. So
bitches.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. All right, 12 is the number to be. 1-800-520-1067. Your call is coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. So Beer Mug wet the bed regularly until he was 11. But it sounds like what I'm learning here today is it wasn't really his fault. It sounds like he had some undeveloped plumbing. Took a little longer for that to get working.
Which is what he tells himself to live with himself.
Hey, come on. Look, I'm no fan of beer mug, but that does make medical sense to me. But we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Then we talked to Dennis. He was 12. Now let's go to Kyle. He's on line 8. Let's find out how old he was when he quit wetting the bed and what that was like for him. Hi, Kyle.
Hey, guys.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah. How old were you?
The magic number for me was 13.
13, everybody. Fantastic.
Woo! Kyle's number one.
and tell me what that was like when you were 11, 12, 13. You were old enough to know that it was no good.
Yeah, it was no good. And, you know, my mom often worked nights, and so we'd spend the night at my grandma's. And she knew all about it. And she's this little Japanese lady. And in the middle of the night, she would come and sneak into where I was sleeping and try to put a diaper on me.
She wouldn't even tell you up front that she thought you should wear one?
No, she just figured I'd wake up in the morning and just be happy with the diaper, I guess.
Love it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fantastic. See, this is why you can't trust the Japanese, because they always sneak in the middle of the night. That's what I've learned.
Oh, no.
Thank you, Kyle. You very much. All right, let's see. How about Ashley? Now, we haven't talked to any ladies yet. Ashley is on line 4. How old were you, Ashley, when you stopped wetting the bed?
I was 16 when I finally
started. Ashley's number one! 16!
What was going on with you? You don't have the bladder excuse that Beer Mug gave us.
No, I didn't have the bladder issues. I can actually relate to Lisa. I would always dream that I was going to the bathroom, and it would become a battle of mind and my will. And my mind always had the upper hand. It would get me every time. So I would go like at least a week or every other week until I was 16.
Oh, man.
Isn't that interesting? Why do you suppose it stopped?
Well, I finally had to train myself. I tried everything to try to differentiate if it was a dream or not. And I would pinch myself. That didn't work. I would try to rationalize the event. Like, did I just wake up on the toilet? But it was so vivid. So finally, I would just go a little bit. And I could feel it on my butt that I knew I was still in bed.
All right. Okay. Good morning, everybody.
Welcome to Urine Talk. Show. Good morning.
All right. Have a bite of whatever you're eating.
Thank you. Ashley, thank you, my dear. Two more real quick. Andrew, line one. Andrew, 16 is the number to beat. How old were you when you stopped wetting the bed?
I was a ripe old age of 20.
20? Ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
We're out of the teens now.
We have a new leader.
That's fantastic. What was going on? What did you think the problem was?
That's fantastic.
Actually, I was diagnosed real young with a sensitive bladder, sensitive to like really acidic drinks. And then plus I had the same thing with Ashley is I would have dreams of going to the restroom when I was asleep. And I was actually able to wake myself up the majority of the time. So instead of me going all over myself, I was able to wake up.
So the acidic thing, though, is that like drinking like orange juice and stuff like that would cause a problem for you?
Yeah, mostly orange juice and dark sodas and things like that. Thank God it didn't happen with alcohol, for God's sake.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, that would have been a deal breaker.
Take your own life. All right, thank you,
Andrew. All right, we got Stefan now. Stefan is on line 6. He's the last one we're going to have time for. We're at 20, Stefan. How old were you?
Actually, it's Stephen, and I was 23.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, that's fantastic. Beer Mug, you got to feel pretty good about yourself right now.
Oh, yeah. He wet the bed until W. You're nothing.
Tell me about that. 23, what happened?
Yeah, it was when I had just gotten married. It was the first few weeks living with my wife. And
you were still wetting the bed when you got married?
Unfortunately, yes.
Awesome. Did she know about it? Did she know about it before you guys got married? Were you sleeping together before you got married?
I mean, kind of, sort of, not really, but we didn't spend a whole bunch of nights together, and I mean, it was just like the past two callers. I would have dreams that I was using the restroom, and this night after, you know, like a week being married, I, you know, had a dream and woke up and everything was wet, and she was mad that I tried to pee on her when we first got married.
She was thinking, what did I get myself into?
I married a guy.
He tries to pee on me every night.
I don't like it.
And did it just stop on its own after that?
Thankfully it did, and I kind of learned just not to drink any liquids before bed.
Wait, if you drink liquids before bed today?
Today, it seems I'm okay. But for whatever reason...
Try it tonight and get back to us.
Thank you, Stephen. Appreciate the call.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show.
Are we really doing Thanks for That Tweet, Bean, again?
Thanks for that tweet.
Look, if you'll stop making them, we'll stop talking about them.
How about that? How's that deal?
That's true.
It's been like 15 minutes since the last time you guys made fun of
them. Well, stop cranking them out at record pace.
We have people tweeting Ralph and I that we have to do things for that tweet being based on just one.
I am offended by the entire concept of this bit.
You turn out bad tweets like Pringles makes potato chips.
People seem to enjoy them. People follow me on Twitter and they like it.
They're idiots.
It's voluntary. They don't have to.
They don't all like it. But I'm telling you, the
people that follow me want to follow me. If it's not for you, don't follow me.
No, they want to follow you so they can give us an alert.
That's right.
To do this bit because they know we don't follow you and have you blocked so we don't have to subject ourselves to these.
All right. What are you complaining about today?
So Chip, who we made look at your tweets, we make her follow them.
Uh-huh.
I says to her yesterday, I says, hey, do we have enough for thanks for that tweet, Bean? And she looked at me and in a low voice, she said, oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
I noticed she was weeping this morning when I came in. All right. What's the problem today?
Hold on. I got to get the sound effect ready.
Yeah.
Nice work, Omar.
Omar's still getting back to speed. He was on vacation a little bit. He has to...
All right. Hold on.
You're going to have to do it with your mouth, Omar.
All right.
Happy birthday, Benjamin Harrison, America's last bearded president. What's that a boot?
That's really? That tweet.
Bean!
Really?
Look, Bean, we don't need further clarification.
No, but I'm just saying.
We all understand it. But
I'm saying almost all the presidents had beards, and then all of a sudden they just stopped. But like, why hasn't a man with a beard been president?
Let me ask you a question.
Why?
Have you ever had a thought that you just thought, you know what, only I care? You never have.
Yeah, never had that.
That's never happened.
Is significant.
That happens to all of us all the time.
Right, and I do that too, but this is about...
But then you tweet it.
The president of the United States. Do you think that people wouldn't
that's
vote
that tweet.
For a guy with a beard? Because isn't that weird? It's been 100 years. More.
I couldn't be less interested.
Like, every year there's a guy running with a beard that no one will vote for.
Just
how many candidates
beard?
Have had beards?
I don't know, but it surprised me that after so long of having bearded presidents, all of a sudden we're in this giant drought, and I think the country is worse for it.
Thanks for that tweet.
Bean!
I love the fact that he's co-opted my What's That a Boot from my Dustin Bieber bit.
That's true.
That first of all, he'll steal anything that's funny to use on the air. He'll say it all the time.
Oh,
now
I'll
he's
do that
stealing
too.
He's taking it from the air, and now he's using it in his horrible tweets.
In a place where it doesn't really make any sense.
It's not about Canada, it's not about Bieber, it's nothing.
Right.
No, that's just part of the language now. There's
that's
nothing
right.
I can
tweet.
Oh, nice.
Spending the day in the hospital. I don't mean to complain, but none of the nurses look like any of the ones in the movies.
Thanks for that tweet.
Yeah, you don't look like patients in the movies either, by the way.
Because, and by the way...
Your giant hideousness. You don't look like Brad Pitt in the hospital.
They put the ugly nurses with the ugly patients.
Nurses in quotes, movies in quotes, because in porn, they always have
Bean,
super... What? I'm just saying, and then you go to the
but
real
we
hospital,
get it,
and
right?
It's not...
Thanks for that tweet.
No joke, I just heard Monster Mash on the radio. Finally, it's about time we got some Halloween up in this August...
Shut up, Omar.
Man.
Just kill yourself.
Thanks for that tweet.
Bean! About half the people that follow me here put photographer in their bio. Doesn't that just mean I own a phone? Hashtag big deal.
It's a good point, you gotta admit.
First of all, you're going through every single person that follows you? You're going through their profile to find out if they have photographer in it?
No, not at all. It wasn't a scientific survey. It was just an observation.
How many people do you research that follow you?
Just that I had noticed it on several people, and I thought, how many people are really photographers? Or how many people just put that on their bio?
I think we understand that.
It just struck me as odd.
Thanks for that tweet.
Bean!
It certainly is appropriate to take shots at half the people that follow you, because it's a good idea to insult them.
They should be insulted.
I don't want to brag too much about who I'm going to see in concert tonight, but his name rhymes with Beard Pal. Hashtag eat it.
I saw Weird Al, you guys.
Yeah,
he's
we
the
got
best.
That. We got that.
Couldn't just say that, could you?
No, couldn't possibly. Where's the fun in that, Lisa?
Yeah.
Actually communicating something to someone.
Thanks for that
tweet.
Remember Vuvuzelas? Those were bad times.
Yeah, oh my God.
Am I lying?
What?
Or am I telling the truth?
I don't think any of us have that as a part of our lives.
Remember how annoying the Vuvuzelas were
at
the World Cup? And now the Olympics, and there's none, and it's awesome. Just saying.
Thanks for that tweet.
Bean! America wins the gold medal every single year in mass gun shootings.
Oh, socially relevant.
Oh,
good.
I see.
He's got a message.
Satire.
Woo. Everybody's going to learn from this one.
We have been on a roll this summer.
That's that
tweet.
Bean.
Help me with my list of things no one cares about. Your birthday, your kids, your pets, your dreams, your diet. What else?
Wow, what a gigantic, colossal dick you are.
Why am I a dick?
Because you're telling everyone who's following you that you could care less about them.
About anything in their lives.
Anybody but you sucks.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
That's not what I'm saying.
What you're saying.
Read it again, Ralph. Read it again.
Help me with my list of things no one cares about. Your birthday, your kids, your pets, your dreams, your diet. What else?
That's just for starters, by the way. There's a lot more than that.
What a dick.
And of all people to talk about
writing
about things that no one cares about. The unmitigated balls to a guy who you have.
To a guy who sends out pictures of his pets.
The guy who tweets about vuvuzelas. You.
Whoa, hold on. You can't say
the F word, Ralph.
That, Ralph. All right, I believe it's
I heard the Monster Mash on the radio. Kill yourself.
Quite a show still to come here on the Kevin and Bean Show, including the beautiful actress Kate Beckinsale. This Underworld movie looks pretty good, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Awesome. Got her in about a half an hour. Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Dave Hester is going to be on from Storage Wars and funny man Rob Delaney. First, though, Kevin, what's going on in your favorite country of North Korea?
Well, Kim Jong-il died. He was the ruler there. He was the ruthless tyrant.
The dear leader.
Yes, the dear leader is what he made them call him.
Yes.
He passed away. He's got a bunch of sons. Not all of them are a 10 out of 10, let's be honest. Some of them are fat. Some of them are a little
slow.
It's also just weird. I mean, you know, you kind of take for granted. You grow up, you live in America, you get to choose who leads you. You get to vote for the guy you want to run the country. It's not like that in places like North Korea with a dictatorship. I mean, he decides. He picked a dude, his son, to run the place after he was gone. I mean, there wasn't any discussion about it. There wasn't a way to weigh in. I mean, that's who's going to get it. So he picked the younger son, I guess. And then there's an older son who's standing around going, hey, what about me over here?
Yeah, he passed over the older son. But here's the headline that got our attention. Kim Jong-il's fat playboy son totally jealous of good dictator brother.
Cool dictator brother, right.
How about that? Fat playboy son.
Wow.
That's the beauty of being a son of a tyrant is that you can be fat and a playboy.
Yep,
At the same time, you can get chicks all the time even though you're fat.
Yeah, he's ridiculously wealthy, and he has no job, and he just spends his time jetting all over the world, you know, banging chicks. His name is Chad Kim Jong-nam, and he joins us, the man who will not be leading the North Korean people, but he is on the phone with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Chad, hello.
Hello. Hey, Rhonda, how you go?
We go well.
It's good to hear.
It's very loud where you are. What's going on? Is that a party?
Yeah, I've been clubbing. Our clubbing make it rain.
Yeah.
The ladies love me.
I'll bet they love you because you have a lot of money.
No, they love me because I'm so handsome.
Well.
They love my personality.
The picture I'm looking at makes you look like you're about 300 plus.
Yes, but it's all muscle.
Sure. Yeah.
You have been telling people, and you are quoted in a new book coming out this week, that your younger brother is going to fail. He will be a terrible leader for your country. How come?
Because he's a stupid head. He don't know how to be dictator.
He's a stupid head.
Yeah.
I'd
be better dictator.
You want to take over when he fails?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I'm the older brother.
Well, you might want to...
I was stepped over. It ain't the way I wanted it. I can handle things. I'm smart.
Right.
I'm not like everybody says, like dumb. I'm smart. I want respect.
Right. Maybe a little
bit... That's what Fredo said in Godfather.
Oh, I see. Should we have gotten that reference? I'm sorry, Chad.
First of all, my name's not Chad.
I thought it was Chad. Isn't it?
No, Chad is a... is what you call like a bro-ham or like
oh, I see.
Chad is a kind of person. Like, oh, look at that Chad over there in the bar all dressed up looking like he's something.
Oh, Chad's with the new bros. I got you.
Yeah,
now. Okay,
that's
so
exactly
you are,
right. Yeah.
You are Kim Jong-nam then, and your younger brother who is running things is Kim Jong-un.
Oh, God damn. This is a hard bit to get through.
It really is, yes.
You guys, you got to read more. I'm a stupid fat playboy. I know more what's going on than you do.
Well, you should. I was unfamiliar with the term. I'm sorry. Okay, so what's the problem with your brother? You think he's going to fail? He has no vision? How would you do a better job?
First of all, he doesn't know how to be mean,
right.
Which you got me to be dictator.
Okay.
He don't know how to torture. Well, that's important skill to have.
I guess.
Like me, I'm a killer.
You're a killer?
Yeah. I slay the ladies on the dance floor.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
No.
And I'm a torturer.
You're a torturer?
Oh, no.
I beat up all the ladies from the inside.
No.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
No.
That is not sexy.
Yeah, and I like to waterboard the ladies.
Oh, see,
you know what I'm saying?
Uh-oh.
I make it rain on them, and they think they're drowning.
Yeah.
Okay.
With Salaville.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe
you
more
take over.
I should.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it'd be so much more fun country if I was leader.
No, I agree.
Every Friday would be... It'd be Macarena Friday.
Macarena Friday.
Everybody has to dance Macarena.
Oh, that's
very,
a fresh idea.
Very timely. Yeah.
Oh, that's a fun dance.
Well, you got some good ideas there, Chad. I hope it works out for
Stop
you.
Stop calling me Chad.
Yeah, whatever your name is. We don't care.
Learn one thing.
I'm just saying, if the movie's opening up on a Wednesday, let's just make it a holiday. This will give everybody the day off and let them go see The Dictator.
Everybody gets a day off tomorrow.
I agree. It's always an event at the theater when Sacha Baron Cohen is back with one of his new character movies like Borat or Bruno. The new one, of course, is called The Dictator. You've been hearing about it. Admiral General Aladdin is what's going on this time. And Sacha Baron Cohen joins us back on The Kevin Bean Show after quite a while. Hey, Sasha, how are you?
Hello. It's nice to be back.
Great to have you. Is it tough to put the dictator character in the closet? I know you've been working on the movie for a long time and then doing a lot of the promotion in character. Is it tough to say goodbye to that one?
Yeah, listen, it's tough to say goodbye to Ali G or Borat or Bruno. You know, you kind of become a little bit like them, you know.
You've done so many interviews.
Yeah. So, you know, he'll be back at some point.
Oh, I'm sure. I wanted to play you a clip. This is you with Larry King, and we thought this was so funny. And I got to imagine that if everybody had a sense of humor, you wouldn't have a movie or a gig or any of these roles, because it seems like, not that you made Larry King angry, but a lot of people seem to get angry at your comedy, which I find extremely funny. Here's you with Larry King
exactly.
Insulting the fact that he's Jewish.
I'm Jewish.
You are Jewish.
Yes.
You are Jewish.
Yes.
Fine, no problem.
Because I am Jewish, you would take offense, you would spit.
No! Nothing to do with that. I just spit on the floor.
I see. So nothing to do
with
that.
I don't like the floor.
You just go in there ready to improv in character. You just put yourself in the mindset of whatever they throw at me, I'm going to figure out a way to be the dictator, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we wanted to keep a real feel, so we said to him, you know, ask whatever you want. You know, treat it like a real dictator. So he's interviewed so many dictators.
Sure.
He's kind of the perfect guy.
Now, how many interviews have you done where they didn't quite get it, or they didn't think you were funny, or you were super offensive to them even?
Oh, you know what? I did an interview in Australia in the morning show. You guys should check it out. I think it's called the Today Show in Australia.
Okay.
And literally they sat there in silence.
Oh, no.
You know, I was coming out with the most offensive jokes about, like, Jews and, you know, terribly... I was basically, you know, accusing them of having... I said, you know, before we go live, I want to, you know, just so we know, I know that you are having an affair with him, and if you ask me a difficult question, I will reveal it when we go live. And obviously it's a live show. And they totally froze, and... Kind of the show, even though they did not laugh for 10 minutes, the show kind of went viral in Australia and became like the most talked about show. So,
so they didn't
even
like
if
it
they're
at
not
all.
Liking it at the time, people then do like it.
That's so awesome.
Was the best thing that happened to promote The Dictator a couple of months ago when the Academy Awards came out and said, nope, not going to allow you on the red carpet in character, can't do it. Then, of course, they finally acquiesced and you got a chance to dump on Seacrest. But you must have been so happy when they tried to ban you from the Oscars.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it was kind of ludicrous because I was in this movie, Hugo, which got,
right.
I don't know, like 10 or 11 Academy nominations. And then, you know, actually banning me from turning up was kind of pretty funny. You know, the head of the Academy called up my agent. He said, you know, if he turns up within half a mile of the Academy Awards, I have 250 FBI agents. They will arrest him. And so my agent calls me up and he said, you better not turn up. And I go, the FBI aren't going to arrest me. I mean, what are they going to arrest me for?
Right, right.
So I go, well, there's no crime to, like, turning up to a movie that you're nominated for. You know, that's pretty legal.
Right.
And so when I actually turned up, the police saw the limo, and they suddenly, like, you know, stopped the rest of the traffic. This cop came up to me, and he had a clipboard, and on the clipboard was a picture of me as the dictator. And he said, listen, sir, I'm going to have to check the car. And inside the car, I had, like, the urn with Kim Jong-il's ashes.
Right.
And so I couldn't let him come in. So I said, why do you want to come in? And he said, well, we believe that you have live arms inside.
Live what?
You know.
Arms.
Live arms, as in, you know, guns and ammunition.
Oh, my God. I see.
Yeah, I don't know where they got that from. So anyway, so I let him inside, and we had these kind of three Virgin guards inside who... you know, the dictator, the character that I'm playing, he's protected at all times by 25 virgin guards. I check their virginity every night with the head of my penis. He's got these guards, and basically I said, all right, you want to check the car, fine. You know, strip search me and strip search the girls. And the cop suddenly got really embarrassed and gave up.
Well done.
Searching the car. And so we managed to get it in there, you know.
Well played.
That was hilarious.
And then, as my partner Bean says, you dumped on Ryan Seacrest, which I don't think he meant exactly that way. But you did dump the ashes.
Not exactly. That would have been
That would have been better.
Yeah, I'm sure that's happened at other times, but not
And he was not happy, which, again, as a comedian, must have been the best possible reaction you could have ever hoped for.
You know, I was kind of surprised because he's meant to be so unflappable, and then... I just saw him, like, really, you know, incredibly shocked.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, it was just like a bit of flour on his jacket. So
right, right. But you have to understand, he's a guy who takes himself pretty seriously, and getting ashes dumped on you must have at least, I would have at least paused for a second and said, what just happened?
Yeah, exactly. Well, listen, you know, I actually afterwards, I sent him a new jacket.
Sweet. Very nice.
And it had a little label inside, you know, made by child labor in the country of Wadir. You know?
This is the voice of actor Sacha Baron Cohen here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about his film called The Dictator that opens up everywhere on Wednesday. Kevin, I believe we have a clip.
We do. This is you, and I'm not positive. I'm sorry, but I think you're talking to Anna Faris. And,
yes, that's right.
And you're describing to her how funny it is that she wants to go to school.
You seem educated.
Yes, I went to Amherst.
I love it when women go to school. It's like seeing a monkey on roller skates. It means nothing to them, but it's so adorable for us.
Oh, my God.
Will this film play in the Middle East, Sasha?
It's been banned in most Middle Eastern countries.
Nicely done.
Yeah, and it just got banned from China today.
Congratulations.
I mean, the interesting thing... Yeah, at the moment, the only dictatorship showing it is Venezuela. So,
as a filmmaker, though, who's making a movie for a major studio, when they say China, the largest market in the world, is not going to be able to see your movie, that's not really good news, though, is it?
Yeah, well, it's bad news for them. I mean, personally, I don't really care.
You don't really care, exactly.
China steals movies anyways. They don't need to pay for it. But
yeah, you'll be huge in the BitTorrent world.
They download it, right.
Well, as we said when we brought you on, and we know we're in our remaining seconds here, anytime you're in a movie, whether you're acting like in Hugo and you were terrific in that, or one of your characters like the Bruno or the Borda or the Ali G, we're so excited to have you back. Because you're one of those guys who disappears. We don't hear from you for a couple of years, and then it's just so we're so happy to have you back. But we can't wait to see The Dictator tomorrow. Thank you so much for coming on K-Rock today.
Thank
we always
you
love
very
talking
much
to you.
For having me on again.
Thank you, Sasha.
You bet.
Talk to you soon.
Hi, Omar.
Hey. What's happening? Hello.
Where'd your new inspiration come from? Omar came in so happy earlier in the week. He's like, Bean, I got something I think you're going to like. I'm like, yeah, what's up?
I did. I can't take all the credit. Dave, the King of Mexico, actually came up with the idea. He's like, he came up with one line, and I was like, oh, that's magic, and I came up with the rest. And
why did you feel, look, I was going to ask the question, why did you feel it is necessary to create another new tribute to our man Kevin? But I guess it's because it's easy when Kevin delivers the way he does every single day to take it for granted. It's like you look at Kobe Bryant. He goes out there every single night and he blows your mind.
Absolutely.
And sometimes you don't give him the credit for that because he's just that good. That's just what he does. But occasionally you need to stop the presses and go, hey, let's all be aware of the history that we're watching
here. Exactly. This is a little tribute. It's more like a highlight reel.
But the difference is that I go out and put up air balls every night.
But consistently, though, so that's the thing.
So why is it that we need a tribute to that?
Because I love you.
You don't love me.
And the people love you.
You don't love me. The people don't love me.
It's nothing but love, man.
And I also think, much like you have the Zsa Zsa Gabor obituary package ready to go for whatever that day comes, I feel like we don't want to be caught empty-handed when, you know, that day you don't show up for real and for good. I feel like we're gonna need to have something to play so people can remember you by.
I see.
Excellent point.
So I guess it was Dave's idea. So he came to Omar
Stupid
and he said,
"Stupid Dave,
how about that new Wiz Khalifa, Snoop Dogg, and Bruno Mars song that is getting so much airplay right now? I'm sure you guys have heard this song, but here's a hook of it just to remind you which one we're talking about.
So while we get drunk, so while we smoke weed, we're just having fun. We don't care who sees."
Yeah, great song. So yeah, awesome Omar song. Has taken that and he has used that as the basis for this brand new tribute to Kevin. What's this called, Omar? Does this even have a name?
Let's call it Kevin's Drunky.
Okay. Hit it, Steve.
So what, he sounds drunk. So what, he can't speak. Maybe he's dumb. He's special needs. What's he talking about?
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. We got a special guest to talk to about it.
It's like you catch a fish in a lake and you put it out on the ground and just like flops around on the ground completely. It's like a fish out of water is what it's like.
Now, he's not going to want to spend much time with all those other boys in their room come pretty here a couple years.
We've got to get to the bottom of what in the hell is going on with this Blue Man group. These guys, they paint their faces red.
Monday morning, we have an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
And how often have you used it?
Did you know that going into when you started on the second office, when you were on the outside office, not the main one?
Where is your...
So what, he's now drunk. So what, he can't speak.
How dare you.
Maybe he's dumb. He's special needs. What's he talking about? Man, he sounds crappy. Kevin's a big-headed drunky.
When you roast E-Fiesta to about 200... 2007.
Oh my god.
I saw him as a what do you call
it? I don't
know. Guy that does color commentary. By the way, just for the movie theaters, all site, all do not. There's no all. There's no. It's not a hard one, but if you heard it,
but it is the way you heard it.
Is that so? He doesn't. Are you a regular duck fan? You watch all the time him?
Yeah. Not even an accident. I mean, it's not even his. You don't do it on purpose. You also don't make accidents. You have to do it like they say.
Yes, and you see these sites you never knew existed, but they're right up here. And it just did hours.
What?
Hours.
But the photo shoot didn't look good.
So what, he sounds wrong.
Come on.
So what, he can't
speak. You edited that.
Maybe he's dumb.
Oh, my God.
He's special needs. What's he talking about? Man, he sounds crappy. Kevin's a big-headed drunky.
Now that's par for the cake. For the
course.
It's not over.
I got mud on.
So that's a toss-up. and
you need some
advantage in this story.
When good men fail to stand up, bad triumphs or whatever that is.
We need an update for when the book comes out on DVD.
What did you do?
Are you here to protect us? Not hot.
That song is over, and now we will speak. It's the Kevin and Beecher on the world famous K Rock.
I need to do the Dave plan next time.
I need to do the Dave plan next time.
I'm not drunk.
We owe every one of you that listens to the show a great debt of gratitude.
I don't think that's what I meant to say. So what he sounds drunk. So what he can speak. Come on. Maybe he's dumb. He's special needs. What's he talking about? Great Al Pacino. Good morning.
What?
I don't know what this is.
This is Sean Connery. Talking about curling.
Sorry. Omar is literally... Omar is literally running around the studio.
You know, my biggest problem with that is because, like, a lot of times when we do these songs, we got to keep them about a minute and a half, 2 minutes at tops. I told Bean, dude, I have too many clips. We got to leave it all in.
Come on, yeah. You made the right decision. Yeah,
thank you.
Totally.
Thank you.
No wonder every time we go to Omar to do something, he's like, I'm too busy. No wonder.
We have to play this over and over and over.
Right? No,
this is
don't.
The best.
Thank you. Have to.
Oh, the my problem God. Was, how do you know when you're done, right? You could have done another 10 verses
exactly,
if you wanted.
Totally,
that's amazing.
Man,
no. Ladies and gentlemen, DJ Omar Khan. Well done.
Thank you.
Well done.
I feel like you need one of those helmets.
This is, to me, fascinating, and I really am glad that you're here for this, because you have always been, among all of us, the most open-minded sexually. I think that's safe to say.
I think it is.
Yeah, I think that's a given, yeah.
And I see these stories, and there are two celebrity stories in the news right now. One is about Amber Heard, who was the beautiful actress from the Playboy Club, who we all knew was lesbian, who is now dating Johnny Depp, a man. And the other is about Frank Ocean, the very popular
Caribbean
R&B singer. Frank Ocean, not
oh,
Billy.
Oh,
Frank Ocean, who says that he was heterosexual his whole life until he met that special person who happened to be a guy,
yep.
And then he fell in love with this guy, and that changed his path.
Yep.
And I'm puzzled by this because I've met a lot of guys that I really like, that I really want to be friends with, that I think are awesome people that I like to hang around with.
Did you want to bend over?
There's nothing in me that takes you to that next step that now wants to have sex with that guy.
You
though.
Just haven't met the right guy. That's right.
This is why I am confused by this topic a little bit. Like, how are you one sexual persuasion your whole life, and then you meet a person, and then boom, you go veering off in another direction? How does something like
Lindsay
that happen?
Lohan had never been with a woman before. She had dated men exclusively until she met Samantha Ronson. And then
so
she
stayed the same?
She entered into a lesbian relationship with her.
Well, how do you turn down Samantha Ronson?
Yeah,
come on.
True.
He's a good-looking
dude.
Here's
the thing many bisexuals will say is that they are neither gay nor heterosexual, but they just fall in love with the person as opposed to the gender. That is the line you will hear repeated by many bisexuals who say their sexual tastes depend on the person that they're with. Whomever they're with dictates which way they swing. Now, some people, like in these cases, have said they strictly identified as heterosexual or sometimes homosexual, and then a person came along that rocked their world so seriously that it altered the course of their sexuality.
You met someone that changed the way you identified yourself sexually. Gabriel, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's your story?
Well, technically, I still identify as gay. I've been married 6 years to my wife. Met at a gay club, actually.
You met her at a gay club?
Yeah, actually, she was with her friends, so she had a few gay friends herself.
I know a lot of girls like to go to gay clubs anyway, just because they love to dance and they don't get bugged.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
And the guys are great looking.
Yes.
It's very non-threatening for them. So, you know, we met, we were dancing, and, you know, we just kind of started hanging out, and then one thing led to another. We kind of started dating, and we got married. We've been married 6 years, and
I gotta tell you, I can see women making that. I would never trust a guy who used to be gay.
How come?
Wow.
I just don't. I find
that. Would you
that
trust a guy
changed?
Who's heterosexual?
No, but I mean to stay.
I mean, a guy's just as likely to cheat on you with a woman as he is with a guy.
To stay
more.
Straight and be happy straight. I don't know. I think for guys, making that switch is so much harder.
Gabriel, let's ask you. Was that switch hard to make? And do you still have problems?
No, I don't really have problems, I'd say. She's open to it. I mean, there's ways we handle that. Where
I see.
We have an open relationship.
Okay.
That makes sense. That sounds like a win-win for both of you if
so
you're both
you
into that.
So you love your wife. Do you have sex with your wife regularly?
Oh, absolutely, yes. We have a very healthy sex life.
But from time to time, you go out to the hot dog stand.
Precisely, yeah.
And she attends as well.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Wow.
All right. Good times
Good
for
deal.
Gabriel.
It's a win.
Gabriel beats us all.
Thank you so much. He is living the best possible life. Thank you, Gabriel. Let's go to Daphne. Now, Daphne was completely straight, and then that all changed one day. Daphne, what happened? How'd you go gay, sweetheart?
I was straight. I didn't even explore. I wasn't interested. I wasn't turned off. I just wasn't interested.
Right.
And my boyfriend moved away for work, and my other fell really ill. And she was there. She was my best friend's lover.
So your best friend is lesbian, and that was her girlfriend?
Correct.
And you guys met, and sparks?
It was intense. You know, the hardest part wasn't my internal. It was the external. It was the flack people gave me.
Family and friends.
Yeah, sure.
Did you try to fight your romantic and sexual feelings for a woman just because of, A, the external feelings, and B, because you thought, hey, I'm straight, this isn't the thing I should be doing?
No. I wasn't raised that way.
That's good, because women are better.
But,
yeah.
But you just felt yourself falling for her. How long were you together?
We're still together.
You're still together.
Four and a half years.
Well, right. Yeah. So you found someone serious in your life, and this is your first and only girlfriend.
First and only girlfriend.
That's
I haven't even kissed another girl. And I don't, it's kind of weird. I do trip. I'm, you know, am I a lesbian? Am I bisexual? I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know that
it doesn't really matter.
You don't nearly need a label.
Are you happy is the question.
Uh-oh. Wrong question, Kevin.
I'm sorry I asked it.
Kevin, thanks for calling. We're almost out of that one.
Wow.
I thought she was happy.
I wanted to ask Daphne if she ever misses the penis, by the way, because it didn't sound like she had that open kind of marriage that the first caller did. I wonder if at some point she just goes, yeah, it's great being with a girl, but it's not the same as the sex I crave, you know?
Sorry to ruin that for you.
Sorry. Kevin ran her off.
Kevin asked those happiness questions. Nobody's happy. Let's just assume nobody's happy,
I'm
Kevin.
Sorry.
Just move on.
I'm sorry.
Now she's weeping in a corner somewhere. Louis, thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What's the deal, dude?
Hi, guys. This is Santa Monica.
Yeah!
Come on. Why you? Why Ona? Yeah.
All right, now we do have time for Stephanie on line one.
I'm so happy he called.
Our final call on this topic.
That guy pranks us, and we love it, by the way. All right, Stephanie, hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Good,
good, Stephanie. What's your story?
I got married in 2006, mm-hmm. and I met my husband when I was 18. And
so you're married to a guy at this point in the story?
I'm married to a guy, yeah.
Okay.
And then I went to a gay club just for fun, mm-hmm. because I wanted to dance with guys and, you know, have fun. And basically, I met this chick, and we hit it off, we Facebooked, and then we ended up dating for 6 months.
All right.
Behind my husband's back.
Behind your husband's back. Oh, so you were cheating on your husband with a lesbian.
Yes.
Easier to do, I bet.
This story has everything.
I am pitching such a tent right now.
Well,
best.
it was great. I mean, we had, like, probably one of the best, like, sexual experiences I've ever had.
Yeah.
With a chick. So it was pretty good. Then my husband found out.
That's not so good.
Stop the music.
Yeah. So he gave me the ultimatum, like, I'll take the house, the car, if you don't leave her. So.
Why was the ultimatum not, like, I want to be involved?
Right, let me hold the camera.
It's the wrong ultimatum.
I know, and what's weird is that we would, like, invite him in the room, like, oh, hey, you know, Tiffany's over, like, you know, you should...
What?
And he said no?
No, he said no, and she was hot, like, I'm very, very attractive.
So what happened?
So, well, we ended up, you know, moving away because he wanted me away from her, and then we ended up getting divorced, like, 6 months later.
Oh, see?
What a surprise.
I hope you called her back.
I still keep in touch with her.
You
so.
Do?
Yeah, I bet you
I
keep
do.
In touch with her.
How touch.
Yeah.
How in touch.
Yeah.
So,
you know what we're saying?
I'm embarrassed now.
Do you understand what we're saying right now?
I'm slightly freaked out.
Now, Stephanie, do you feel like you're bisexual now, or you still identify as a straight woman who had this one experience, or how do you feel?
I feel bisexual. Yeah. I mean, I look at girls in a different way now, and I'm definitely attracted to them. And
yeah.
So.
All right. Are you happy? Never mind. All right. Thank you for calling, Stephanie. Thanks, everybody, for calling. We'll be right back at the Kevin and Bean Show.
Let's turn our attention to a show none of us watch, but it's still enormously popular. It is called Glee, and it airs Tuesday nights on Fox. You know, every once in a while, of course, they do lots of different sorts of songs, everything from Broadway right to, you know, top 40 hits of today. But every once in a while, they'll do an episode surrounded by just one artist's music. They did a Gaga episode, if I recall. They did a Madonna episode. And tonight, the long-awaited Michael Jackson episode. On Glee.
Michael Jackson episode.
Yeah.
Seems like he's got plenty of songs to choose from.
Plenty of songs, yeah.
About 40 years of hits to pick from. But, you know, it seems like it'd be I would imagine it would be a tremendous boon to the estate. I mean, don't those Glee records just sell like crazy every week?
Oh, no, I think they do. Yeah, on iTunes. I do. I think they do a lot. Yeah, they put out the music ahead of time even.
So once again, Michael Jackson's going to be making more money dead than he made when he was alive in the last few years. But we wanted to find out, you know, is this as much of an honor as we think it is? We're going to fire up the hotline to heaven, get MJ back on the
show here on the Kevin and Bean program. Hey, Michael, how are you?
Demo!
Happy New Year, man. We haven't talked to you this year. What's going on?
Happy New Year to you, too, by the way.
And may thank you.
Say,
Nicely done.
Well done. See? Michael Jackson is dead, and he's willing to take the extra effort. Kevin, you're not. How about that? So, Michael, congratulations on the Glee tonight. That's a big deal. I guess they're doing about 10 of your songs or something.
Yeah, I guess.
What do you mean, I guess? Is not a good thing?
I'm not a big fan of Glee.
Oh.
You would? I would think you would love it. It's all young people singing and dancing. Some of them really young.
I like my young people doing something else. I don't like.
Oh, Michael, really?
But you appreciate.
I mean, playing on the playground or just enjoying their childhood. It's hard for me to watch young people singing and dancing because I lost so much of my childhood.
I see.
Oh, I see.
Like that in front of an audience, and I think if I had to do it all over again, I would rather have a regular childhood.
Wow. Wow.
Well, I mean, I understand where you came from.
Plus, there's no little kids on there. Like, little ones.
Oh, Michael.
Mike, stop that with this little kid
these
thing.
These are teenagers, Steph. Yeah. I mean, you were a performing
old.
Teenager.
Kind of. Don't they have any younger brothers or sisters or cousins or something? I want to see Glee the elementary school year.
I don't think anyone wants to see that. We're not comfortable with that.
I don't like that noise either, Michael.
Now, what do you think about the songs that they chose, like Human Nature and Scream, Black
Scream.
And White?
I had a song called Scream.
I Just Can't Stop Loving You. Yes, you did, with your sister.
I don't remember Scream.
With your sister, Rebe, or whatever Rebe? Her name is.
It was Janet.
Janet.
It was Janet. Remember that was the crazy, like, outer space video, the kind of the one with you screaming at each other in a spaceship?
Not ringing a bell.
It existed.
For LaToya?
No, it was Janet. I think it went to number 5, if I recall.
Bean's right. You're on the spaceship yelling at each other. You both had, I don't know what was going on.
Sure, it wasn't Bubbles.
No, it was you.
Bubbles with...
Look, it's your song. You wrote it, Michael.
Yeah, I wrote a lot of songs.
Right.
I spent a lot of time in my songwriting tree.
Yes, sure. You did. That's where you used to write, yes.
Songs. I can't be expected to remember them all.
We just thought you would if anyone did. That's all.
They do Black or White on the episode tonight. Very popular song of yours.
I hope Baby Precious does that one. Is she doing Fat? Because I'm fat! I'm fat!
That's Weird
Jump
Al.
Jump on it!
That's a Weird Al cover.
Yeah, she is fat, that girl.
Yeah, right. Your song was Woo! Bad. They are doing Bad, but
Jam
no fat.
Jam on! Jam on toast every 5 minutes. That girl, she is huge.
She is rather large.
Yeah. They're doing Fat Coach Beast is not my lover.
I don't think
that with Coach Beast, that giant woman.
No.
She-Man, whatever it is.
I don't know who, what she is.
I don't think they're doing Billie Jean.
How about the Cripple Kid? Is he doing any of my songs?
I believe he is. I believe
Artie? Yeah, I think Artie is singing on a couple of them.
He's my favorite, the crippled one.
Why? Why do you like the kid in the wheelchair?
I like kids who can't get away too fast.
Oh, Michael.
Even Lisa is horrified now.
It comes in handy.
Come on.
And by handy, I mean.
Yes, we know what that means.
All right. I think I've had just about enough of this. All right. Thank you, Michael. You shouldn't watch the show tonight.
That girl is so fast.
She is.
Right now, let's talk about you got in trouble with Twitter. I don't know if you saw this story. There are a couple from England. It was coming over to the United States, and they were talking about how they were going to party. They were really excited. They were going to come tear it up.
Okay.
So they were tweeting, and they used a couple of the wrong words, and it got the attention of the authorities here in the United States. So what they did was they said that they were going to, quote, destroy America, which to them means party like crazy. That's, you know, that's what they meant. And, quote, dig up Marilyn Monroe as an example of how crazy and wacky things are going to get. So when they landed, the Department of Homeland Security flagged them.
Oh, man.
Took them off the plane. Interviewed them for 5 hours at LAX. Held them overnight in a jail cell.
What could they possibly... I mean, wouldn't you just have to talk to them for an hour and realize that... They were just goofing around?
You would think. They spent 12 hours in separate jails, and then they were driven back to the airport and sent back to England.
You're kidding.
No.
And by the way, that means Homeland Security is reading all our tweets?
Well.
Like if they get certain words?
There are key words. Destroy is one of them.
that will destroy America.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which will get their attention. There are other words that the Department of Homeland Security has since, you know, said, hey, perhaps you should avoid these words. Here's the list: illegal immigrant, outbreak, drill, strain, virus, recovery, deaths, collapse.
What?
Listen to this one: human to animal, and Trojan.
Trojan man.
These are words that the government is.
These are keywords.
Keywords
that make them look closer.
The Department of Homeland Security will check your tweet.
What Trojan? Like a Trojan horse?
I guess. I don't know. But this brought up the topic of you got in trouble with Twitter. I can't imagine that you got in this much trouble with your tweet.
Are terrorists tweeting publicly?
I don't know. I don't know.
Don't they, like, I don't know, text each
we
other or
something?
We
are going to destroy America. I don't know. That just seems odd. But the Department of Homeland Security is taking no chances, apparently.
Yeah.
So
okay.
They gave them the once over, 5 hours in the airport, 12 hours overnight.
And then they
sent them back home.
So they are not partying like there's no tomorrow.
Correct.
In America.
Correct.
Maybe they just decided they were douchebags.
That could be. We just don't want them here. This is what the woman had to say.
Actually, fun enough. I was talking to the Queen about it on Thursday.
So we're not sure what that means.
Yeah.
But
well, I can see the
so
point.
You got in trouble with Twitter is what we want to talk to you about right now. 1-800-520-1067. If you were tweeting and somebody got the wrong idea.
It has to happen all the time.
This is clearly the Department of Homeland Security getting the wrong idea. Although, you know what? It looks on the surface of it, I would say this is absurd. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But if they talked to him for 5 hours and then held them overnight and sent them back, it seems like there had to be a little
something.
There was
a problem somewhere.
A little something more than just they used the wrong language and they wanted to party.
I don't know.
It doesn't really say. The article makes it seem like it was completely innocent and it was a complete misunderstanding. And they just basically got sent back to England and weren't allowed in the United States. And I imagine probably banned from the United States. They're probably on the no-fly list or whatever.
Forever. That's it. They're done.
I mean, I don't think you can get banned one time and then come back.
I wouldn't think so either.
Can you?
I wouldn't think so. I can imagine, like, people don't even think. It's like Facebook. You don't even think anymore about what you're tweeting. Like, if you lie to someone, I can't go out with you on Wednesday because I have this thing. And then you completely forget about it and you're out with your friends and you tweet about that. I mean, that kind
of
stuff.
Hey,
and you totally get busted.
You said you were going to be someplace else.
Yeah. You were going to be at your mom's having dinner.
I can imagine. We've gotten in trouble from the radio station for tweets that we put out there. That they don't like.
Yeah.
You know, because you're representing somebody, so you.
Well, I imagine in any corporation, that's got to be an issue.
Well, and that's the thing. Is your company reading your tweets? I'll bet they are. I'll bet people have gotten fired. I bet people have talked bad about employers or people that in the workplace.
Right.
Where they make fun of certain things and they mock certain things. And then, you know, that's out there in public. Like you said, just like Facebook. Either way, you can do it. I mean, Facebook has the exact same idea is that you can share your thoughts with the entire world. You can put it out there for everybody to see, and you just don't think that it's going to actually have consequences.
Didn't we have a situation not too long ago where someone thought they were tweeting personal naked photos, and it actually ended up being public?
Oh, yeah.
Do you guys remember that?
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember who it was. I thought it was a celebrity. Like, I can't remember who it was.
I don't know, but I love that. I love that so
People
much.
People do that, too. They think they're doing a private message. And it's not.
It turns out it was not private.
It was not private.
It turns out it's a public message.
It's a basic misunderstanding of Twitter.
Yeah.
It's easy to do.
So 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number. If you got in trouble with Twitter, somehow your tweet got you in trouble with a boyfriend, with a wife, with a husband,
with work. Yeah.
With friends, you lied about something, and then you forgot to cover your tracks or whatever.
It's so hard to keep all my lies
it
straight.
It is. That's the problem. Is you have to lie a certain amount to get through life.
Yes.
Let's be honest.
Yes.
You really do. You have to tell some lies. Oh, I'd love to do that with you, but I got this thing. And then you mentioned whatever thing it is, and then you forgot that you lied, and so then you have to keep up the act.
Yeah.
So 1-800-520-1067. You got in trouble with Twitter. One of your tweets got you in trouble at work or with a friend. We'll take your phone calls when we get back on the Kevin and Bean. It is 6:37. We're talking about people who got in trouble with tweeting. Lisa, you had two celebrity?
Well, I think these men, well, one of them anyway, got in trouble for this. I now remember Dean McDermott, who's married to Tori Spelling.
Yes.
You guys might remember this. He tweeted a photo and didn't realize his wife in the photo was standing in the background with her
breast
showing.
That's right. She was way in the background, but she was naked.
Oops.
Yeah.
And then also Annalyn McCord accidentally tweeted a photo to a fan. and had a bare breast in it and didn't realize that. I don't know how you don't, but I guess they're so little, maybe, when you send it.
Your
like
boobs
you're just
are so
picking,
little?
No, you're oh, just I picking you a mean. Photo, and if you don't enlarge it.
Yeah, you're not paying
it,
that close of attention.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, that's the best case
it
scenario.
It happens. What are you going to do?
That's the best case scenario right there.
Yep.
Let's start with Morris. Hi, Morris.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thank you. You got in trouble with tweeting?
Yeah. Actually, I was flirting with several girls at a time, and I just didn't care enough to cover any of it up. So what ended up happening is that now I'm living into my car.
What? You're moving into your car?
I live in my car currently, yes.
Where were you living before?
I was living in the MacArthur Park area.
With your girlfriend?
So she actually kind of did me a favor by leaving me, though, because now I can live as a pirate, which is what I love to do.
Oh, so you're saying that you had a girlfriend at the time and you were tweeting other girls and hitting on them?
Yeah.
Girlfriend found out, kicked you out.
Yeah, and took everything with her.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm lucky, aren't I?
Living in your car. I didn't expect it to go that poorly.
That's sweet.
That really sucks.
All right, good times. Enjoy that. Have a good shower. Thank you, Morris. I am, actually. He made it sound like it was better.
It's a big camping adventure.
Dave reminds me, Haley Williams, member of Paramore, thought she was direct messaging her boyfriend with that photo.
Yep.
That's a good photo.
It was a good one. We all saw it.
I like that. Let's go to Renee. Hi, Renee.
Hi.
You got in trouble with Twitter.
I did. Not in the same kind of terms of, you know, exposing myself or anything, but I actually got fired. I did. I'm an event photographer, and I was doing a big corporate Christmas party. Mm-hmm. And in my personal account, not even my business account, I tweeted something along the lines of, gosh, could these people be any, you know, bigger jerkwads? I'm sure I used more colorful language
than
that.
Yeah.
Didn't mention the corporation or anything, and they still found it.
So they,
I don't know if they have people monitoring or...
They must have been searching for your name on Twitter to just kind of do a background check of some kind.
I guess, but I mean, you would think they would do that before they hire me and supposed to during the event.
So they hired you already. It was during the event. And how did you find out that they were going to fire you?
No, I was called after. This is an event I had done, a few years in a row. I mean, I did their event photography and I was asked to not come back.
I see, because you were bad-mouthing them. See,
yeah, not the client, the people I was photographing.
Right. It doesn't matter, of course, but I mean, you sort of think that your own private Twitter account is your own private Twitter account.
You really would,
and
yeah.
I don't even know how they would tie you in with your business.
Especially, I didn't even mention their company's name.
Right.
I didn't mention the event that I was at, nothing.
And they still found out, and they still fired you.
They did.
Wow.
That sucks.
But
sweet.
At least I'm not homeless and, you know,
and
my boobs
in your car.
All over the internet.
At least
so.
You're not living in the car with your boobs
not
out there.
Not living in my car, no.
Good way to look at it, Renee.
That is good news. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
I've made my decision. You're fired.
All right. We'll take a break and come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat coming up next.
Kevin, you're watching the Lakers game the other night when Dallas came to town. Lamar Odom, surprisingly well-received by the home crowd. A lot of times, usually, they boo the people who have left, but maybe people knew that he didn't want to go, right?
Well, he didn't want to... Well, it's a weird situation. No, he didn't want to go at all. He was surprised that they had traded him. And then they said, oh, wait a minute. The league said, oh, wait a minute. You're not going to be able to trade. You got to stay. And he said, I want to be traded anyway.
Yeah. So it was kind of a weird situation.
And so it was sort of his fault for forcing their hand. But they gave a standing ovation, and he sort of just stood there. He acknowledged it eventually, but it didn't really seem happy at all still. And that's why when he went to Washington, D.C., the reports are that he went to a strip club.
Well, what are you going to do? You got Chloe at home. Occasionally, you want to see a feminine-looking woman in your life as well.
Correct.
So that's what happened. So, yeah, I mean, it has been a bad few weeks for the Kardashian clan. But now this report says that Chloe is not happy. There were lots of reports about her husband in Washington, D.C., at a strip club with some of the other Mavericks players, with 500 singles that he was liberally spreading around to all the girls at the club.
500 $1 bills. I wouldn't even know where to go to get that. You go to a bank?
I guess
you'd have to. That's a brother that wants to really make it rain. He wants to make it pour. Well, we wanted to find out what the heck is going on with this and make sure things are still good with him and his beautiful wife, Chloe. So we asked producer Dave to line up Lamar Odom, and we have him on the phone with us from Dallas right now. Hi, Lamar. How are you?
Hi, Ryan. Hi, Ellen. How are you?
Oh, no, Chloe. I'm sorry. I thought we had your husband. I'm sorry,
what? Why would you want to talk to my husband? Hi. You guys always talk to me.
Hi, Chloe. It's great to talk to you.
Hi. Hi, Elmo. Hi, pussy.
No, it's Kevin and Bean. Still Kevin and Bean.
How's Dallas?
Mark. Hi, Brian.
How's Dallas?
Oh, yippee-yay-yo-ki-yay.
Right.
It's spectacular.
Right. Have you made the drive to Seguin to see the world's largest pecan, Chloe?
Next question.
Okay.
All right, is your husband around? We would like to just say hi.
Oh, you want to talk to Lamar?
Well, yeah, we just want to wish him well.
Okay, let me go get him.
Thank you. I wasn't expecting her to answer. It's very strange that she would answer. That threw me for a loop. Wow.
Lamar! Lamar, Ryan and Ellen want to talk to you.
It's not.
Get on the phone.
Hello?
Lamar, is everything okay? Do you need help?
Man. Everything cool?
I can't really talk right now, man.
I know it's kind of a tough...
I got a bit of a situation here at home, man.
Yeah.
And no, the situation isn't in my home. Or you ask that.
Is it true, though, you took 500 $1 bills into a strip club in D.C. and made it rain?
Yeah, I did that. Uh-huh. But that was a mistake, man.
It was a mistake?
Yeah. I thought they were 20s.
You thought there were 20s.
Yeah. Wow. Trying to be impressive. I just got $501 bills and nothing, man. Looks like I'm going to Chuck E. Cheese's to play some skee ball.
Now, Chloe, according to the report, is angry, but I would like to suggest you're an NBA player.
Yeah.
And perhaps that's how NBA players act.
That's right. That's how we roll.
Uh-huh.
So I'm gonna get a new start. I'm in Dallas, a new team.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to become a new man.
Okay.
I'm not going to live in fear of Chloe no more.
Wow! All right, this is very bold. You're breaking out because
changing my name too.
Had the upper hand.
You're changing your name.
Yeah, like you know, Ron Artest
to World Peace.
Meta World Peace. Yeah, right. World Peace uh-huh. Now.
Yeah,
I want to change my name too.
To
Maria. So that's a toss up.
A tribute to our own Kevin. Right?
Yeah, that's where I got the idea, man. I heard him talking. I said, "Man, that fool talk crazy." And I listened to "When Mother Must Yell to Toss Up," and I said, "Hey, that sounds good, man. That look toss up look good in the back of my jersey."
Wait,
I think
I thought we were supposed to be talking about the strip club.
We were talking about the strip club. Now we moved on to my new name.
Okay.
Can't you follow a long damn conversation?
What do you think?
We start talking strip club, dollar bills. Now we're talking about Mother Must Yell to Toss Up.
So that's a toss-up.
Yeah.
That's
my new,
jersey.
Like, Meta World Peace. I'm going to Marty yourself a toss-up.
Well, that'll maybe...
Ladies and gentlemen, now coming into the game, Marty yourself a toss-up. Sounds good, like African or something, man.
If that will get people to stop asking questions about what you did with the stripper in the champagne room that night,
that's
then I guess
that's what I'm
it'll
saying. Take it,
thing.
Just turn all the press, man. Take attention away from one, put on the other.
I see.
Okay. All right. We're almost out of time here, Lamar, but are you in any danger at home? Do you need us to call the authorities or anything like that to keep Chloe off you?
No, man, it's good.
Everything's good.
Anytime she gets angry and starts coming at me, I just dangle a double wobble with cheese in front of her face. And she gets distracted right away. It's like throwing meat after one of them guard dogs in the movies. He's trying to break into a secret complex.
Okay,
take a raw steak and put some sleeping pills in it, right. And just go right in. So, that's what I do with this one.
That sounds like a good plan.
It is a good, until she wake up, and then she's like, whoa! I'm so angry. What happened? I said, bitch, eat more.
Sounds like you got it under control, Mr. Toss-Up. I'm glad we got to catch up with you. Good luck, all right?
Yes, that's a toss-up.
And to you as well. Music from Beck coming up later this hour. Also some Bush. Plus, we got some highlights from Lindsay Lohan. Well, at least from the monologue of Saturday Night Live. The show pretty much fell off after that. From her appearance this past week. And the fourth time she's hosted SNL, by the way. Look at all the people out there who have never hosted it. They've given it to Lindsay Lohan, a woman of questionable talent, four times. Anyway, we've got that coming up for you. Also, NASCAR legend Jeff Gordon in studio with us next hour and an all-new Bean's Death Corner coming up, too.
Project X opened over this weekend and came in number two, and Beer Mug went to the red carpet of this. Now, he was going to get some interviews, and it's kind of a – I'll give it to you up front, Beer Mug. It's kind of a difficult gig in that there are no stars.
Right. Mm.
You don't really know who you're going to interview, and when they sit down, if they're not a star, they haven't done anything else, then you don't know what to say to them.
It's tough.
Not for you, but it is for everyone else.
It would. I would think it would even be tough for Muggs because part of what he does on the red carpet in these interview situations is he confuses what the people have actually done with who they are.
That's right. True.
So he doesn't have Cool in the Gang coming by for him to sing Casey and the Sunshine Band songs at.
That's true. That's a good point. He checks first to make sure that the equipment is working.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's dot. Yep, uh-huh. Check, 1, 2.
Yeah, so he's got that going.
It's always important to check the equipment.
What kind of check is that?
I was just looking at the visual monitor, make sure it doesn't clip.
He sits down with 13-year-old Dylan Sprayberry.
Okay.
Kid's 13.
13 years old, okay? He's not one of the major parts of the movie either. Mm-hmm. He's not one of the four guys that are throwing the party. He's kind of a side actor. So then Beer Monk sits down with him.
All right. I'm here with Dylan Sprayberry. And I'm thinking, Dylan, not many people have heard of you before. Could you tell me what you got going on?
What you got going on?
Uh-huh.
That's the most general question ever. And not a lot of people have heard of you. Have you worked in the past in something that maybe we've seen?
I don't think he was even in Project X. I think he's coming up in a...
oh, yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah, I think
he... Because I saw his face and I didn't remember him.
He was promoting Man of Steel, which I think is the movie coming
out. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes.
Well,
Superman.
Yeah, Superman. Okay. Yeah. I've never heard of him.
Okay. So you sit down and you say what you got going on.
Yeah.
Of course, there's no answer to that because, I mean, what does the guy say? What does the guy say to that question?
He can say anything, Kevin, if he's good enough. He can say anything
he's
he wants
13.
To. Yeah.
I'm saying a little direction. Basically, you're just going talk.
I'm giving him a form to do free form conversation.
Okay. Now, remember he's 13 when you hear this question, Bean.
Were you a fan of Superman in your earlier youth?
I was always a fan of Superman, you know.
He's 13. He's 13 and Muggs wants to know about his earlier youth. Are you kidding? He's only had 12 years before that.
Yeah, that's 12 years where he could have been a fan of Superman.
Were you a fan of Superman in your earlier youth?
I was always a fan of Superman, you know.
See, and he was kind enough to answer the question.
All right, so now, again, remembering that Beer Mock is talking to a 13-year-old. Here we go.
I wish I had your mentality when I was 13 because, I would be, you know, just larger than life like yourself. And you know what? Like, when you're 21, hit me up. We'll go hit the bars. We'll go.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know about, you know, drinking, but yeah, I'll think about it.
We can do something else.
The years, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
That couldn't sound any creepier.
Yeah,
I wasn't hitting talk to out. This 13-year-old about drinking, and then he says, I'm not sure about drinking. You're like, we could do something else.
We could do something else.
Well, I wasn't clear enough, but what I meant was is that when he turns 21, we go to the bars and pick up chicks, because he's a good-looking kid, and I could use his help.
What's this mentality that you're...
years from now.
I can wait, Kevin. I can wait.
What's this mentality you're so envious of this 13-year-old, by the way?
He was spry and just... when I was 13, I was fat spry. And playing video games.
Spry.
He was spry.
13.
How's that? How do you...
Oh, the wrong choice of words?
It's just so funny to hear Muggs because, like, the guy is 8 years from now. If he gets a hold of you, you're going to be on Skid Row, let's be honest.
No.
And you're not going to even have a phone. He's going to walk by and say, hey, let's go out and drink. Remember that one time 8 years ago when you interviewed me?
He's going to be like, yes, let's roll.
He's going to walk into whatever Office Depot you're working at, and he's going to say, I think you talked to me on the red carpet 8 years ago.
I mean, I'm going to be working at Staples, okay?
So then...
We can do something else.
We
you want to drink? We can do something else.
I'm not sure about drinking. We could do something else. I'm buzzed. Now, the new those of you that saw the movie, this is the guy from New York that was kind of pushing the whole party. We can fix it. We can fix it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. He's that guy, and he sits down. His name is Oliver Cooper, and he sits down with Muggs.
I'm here with Oliver Cooper. I can't imagine, like, you know, I've always kind of thought, not really, like, you know.
Okay, so far, so good. Right? So far, so good. He's talking to the guy, and he wants to ask him a question about acting. But he doesn't know that at the beginning of the question. He just starts rambling. That's what I love about Beer Mug, is he just starts rambling, and he hopes that he's going to end up with a question at the end, but he's not sure what it's going to be or where it's going.
I'm here with Oliver Cooper. I can't imagine, like, you know, I've always kind of thought, not really, like, you know, to get into acting, but, like, I've always been intrigued by watching actors act. And did you have to kind of break away from your normal character, like your personality, to do this, or is it kind of natural?
Okay, I'm
so
confused.
So
that happened.
What happened
that
there?
That question happened. He's asking the guy, in effect, he's asking the guy if he can just be himself, or when he acts, does he have to try and act like someone else?
Which is, of course, the definition of acting.
Correct. That's the very definition of acting. I'd like to hear that one again. That was strong. That was good.
I'm here with Oliver Cooper. I can't imagine, like, you know, I've always kind of thought, not really, like, you know, to get into acting, but, like, I've always been intrigued by watching actors act. And did you have to kind of break away from your normal character, like your personality, to do this, or is it kind of natural?
Okay, now I understand.
Dude. Look, Muggs has admitted in the past that he literally doesn't know where the question is going when he
Correct.
Starts. He's already talking when he has to form whatever the question's going to be. So it's a miracle that doesn't happen more often.
He uses a lot of words as stall tactics.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
He's trying to figure out what he's going to say.
You didn't tell anybody you used to be a drummer?
Oh, he did, yeah.
Oh, okay, good.
When he got to Kid Cudi. I'm not sure we're going to have time for that right now. He talked to the fat kid in the movie, who is one of the main four, Jonathan Daniel Brown.
All right, I'm here with Jonathan Daniel Brown. That's it. I got it. You know what? I'm not going to lie. This is the first time I've seen you, heard of you.
Okay, good. That's a good start.
Okay.
I'm going to let him down
By
easy.
The way, butter him up with Kaplan.
Look, here's the thing. When you're interviewing people, you don't have to have met them. It's okay to interview someone that you haven't met. Okay. You don't have to, like, full disclosure. You don't have to say, I'm not going to lie. Because he did this like three or four times, Bean. Because I'm a man of truth. So I don't know you. He has to start with. Why? I have no idea why.
Now, Jonathan, let me ask you a question.
Yes, there it is. Let me ask you a question.
Project X, if you could sum it up in less than five words for people who have no idea what the movie's about, what can you say?
Now, here's my question. Why does he have to summarize it in less than five words? Why the limit?
What kind of time schedule is Muggs on?
Why the limit? Why don't you just say, for people who aren't familiar with the movie, what happens? Why do you have to say five? Who can?
I thought it'd be short and concise.
Five
enough.
Words.
Yeah.
He would have to sit there and think and go, house, party, disaster, gone wrong.
So Kevin, I make it challenging for the interviewee.
But why? What's the reason behind? Why give him only five words?
I thought that would be interesting, kind of, you know, creative, but I don't know.
Yeah. Then he sits down. Oh, we're out of time. Shoot. Then he sits
down.
Oh, is this going to be another six-parter?
You want to hear some Kid Cudi? You
wanna
hear
a little yes, I do.
Of Muggs with Kid Cudi?
Oh, yes. Right. I am here with the one, the only Kid Cudi and Dr. Genius. I got to start off by saying Man on the Moon is one of my favorite albums. I'm not bullshit. I'm not blowing smoke up your
Okay, now here we go again, where Muggs has to make sure that they know he's a truth teller. He right. doesn't lie.
Every time I'm in like a kind of like a down mood or feeling good even, I throw that on, everything goes out the window.
Okay, what does that mean? What literally, what does that mean?
When you're feeling good, it goes out the window?
I think I meant all my emotions and all my cares in the world just go out the window.
But whether you're upset,
troubles, yeah.
Whether you're upset or feeling good, that covers every mood that's possible.
If you're feeling good, you put it on and the good feelings go out the window too?
Everything goes out the window, Bean.
You could be apathetic at times, but no, it's when you're feeling good and when you're feeling bad. The album works.
Every time I'm in like a kind of like a down mood or feeling good even, I throw that on.
And what happens?
Everything goes out the window.
I don't know what that means. And then I'm just going to tease you with this.
Let me tell you guys something. I'm a drummer.
Okay, so that's
fantastic.
We need to take a break, but we're going to have a little bit later on this morning, we'll have some more Beer Mug interviews on the red carpet for Project X.
Can't wait.
But job well done.
Thank you.
Job well done. Everything goes out the window.